Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
PHLY Eagles podcast. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, high noon on a Wednesday, or as we like to think of it here, day two of Donald Parham Watch here in Philadelphia. Zach Berman, how you doing?
Doing well. Excited for the show. The reference was from yesterday's game, and actually our outstanding social media head here, Chris, was doing a graphic yesterday, and it's like, are you on Team Bo or Team Zach? And I'm like, yeah, I would definitely be on the side that gets them AJ Terrell and Justin Simmons over Donald Parham and Miles Bryant. So I was trying
tick,
to
tick tock tock Joe Ortiz. Let's make a deal. Call up Howie Roseman, Donald Parham. Let's get him on the move.
I was trying to appeal to the people who are like, you know, watching day three of the draft.
Sure.
Yeah. Out. You know, I wasn't going for the headline. I should have gone for the headline.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You showed that you did your research. That was fun. So you can watch that or listen to that on yesterday's episode. The guys who we think that might still be out there for the Eagles. But today is a fun day. Today is one of the crown jewels of the Eagles offseason, as far as we are concerned. The 2024
Should we address what we're laughing at? Because we do have
the elephant in the room.
Yeah, we have a strong audience, a strong audio audience as well. So I listened to the show back in the car, and I had to remind myself.
Sometimes we maybe don't do a good enough job of addressing the audio audience.
Exactly.
And describing what's going on.
So Bo, for the third day in a row, is representing Pitt with Pitt colors here. Gold and blue. He's wearing the same shirt 3 days
in
a row.
You wonder, the longer that I wear it, the more orange it looks, I feel like.
If I say it's orange, will you stop wearing it?
I don't know.
It is orange. How about that? There you go. I can see.
This right here is orange.
I can see if you squint and like really stretch the definition of orange, that's orange. So
now you see, I think what I have done here is it's a good lesson for everybody out there. And that's, you know, I wore this shirt a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, and it got back to me that somebody thought it was an ugly shirt. And so I could go one of two ways. I can just not wear it anymore, take the other person's input and say, oh, okay, you decide what I'm going to wear. Or what I have done now is I have made this shirt my own thing. Yeah. This shirt is a part of the show now. It's like it's a bit, but it's also I have made it my own. I've taken it away from whoever your unknown source was.
Well, I'm actually jealous of you in that regard. I've always envied like Steve Jobs just wearing the same thing each day. And Sam Hinkie does it too. You take a decision out of your day right there. But if you're not like a famous CEO or a famous general manager, it can come off as just like sloppy. This guy just wears the same thing every day, right? Not the literal same thing, but it's unimaginative, right? So I hope to get to a point where I can just wear the black hoodie every day and roll with it. Yeah.
You know what? Listen, I make fun of Hinky and Jobs for those types of things, but I got to tell you, you know, to not have to spend 4 minutes this morning deciding what shirt I was going to wear is kind of nice.
Exactly. That's 4 minutes you could have allocated to researching Donald Parham.
Donald Parham, that's right.
Yes.
All right. Let's get things cooking here as we prepare for the Duck Duck Juice Draft. Now, those of you who are new to the Duck Duck Juice Draft, here's what we're going to do. The Eagles have 8 picks in this year's draft. They have a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks, a 4th, 3 fifths, and a 6th. And Zach and I are going to go back and forth drafting the positions that we think the Eagles are likeliest to take early in the draft, but whatever we think is going to accumulate the most points. And the points here go 7 points for a first-round pick, 6 points for a second-round pick, so 2 second-round picks on the board right now, 5 points for a third-round pick, and on down the line to just 1 point for a 7th-round pick. There are 12 positions available. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, tackle, interior offensive line, edge, defensive tackle, linebacker, corner, safety, and special teams. Now, there are a couple players where there might be some debate about the position. If there is debate, it will come down to where they take their first snap on the first day of practice. How are you feeling?
I'm excited. This is actually a really good exercise. I don't mean to interrupt.
You want to address the Mustafa in the room.
Yeah, thank you, yes. Yeah, you know me well, Bo. You saw that. The Eagles didn't make a signing yesterday afternoon. P.J. Mustafa, a defensive tackle from Penn State, was undrafted last year, signed with the Broncos, then was on their practice squad, finished the season with New Orleans. He would have been an exclusive rights player, but he actually was a free agent. The Eagles signed him. And so that was the move yesterday. We should just update that news. I didn't mean to interject the rules.
That's okay.
But
no, we should talk about it. We do a show every day. If they make a move, we should talk about it.
Exactly. So just wanted to give, and I wanted to give PJ his shine in case fans down in Owings Mills.
What do you know about PJ?
He's from Owings Mills, Maryland. Was a 2-time second team All Big Ten player at Penn State. I think he's like 6'4", 315, if memory serves. And
Noah Ellis competition, basically.
Yeah, Marlon Tupelotu. Yeah, or
is there a
maybe
PJ,
Tierre Tart?
Is there a PJ Mustafa?
I don't think there is a Sam, though. A Sam Mustafa.
Okay.
Yes.
And
good locker room guy at PSU, according to Riley.
Do you think, I like this conspiracy theory that was floated out there, that in exchange for James Franklin's silence in the NFL's investigation into the Eagles tampering with Saquon Barkley, the tit for tat is that they would sign PJ Mustafa.
I mean, they probably could have shot a little higher for the silence, but sure, maybe so. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the tit for tat, but.
Okay. Now I do feel a little bit of guilt here because we decided this morning to do the Duck
late
juice
last
draft.
Night, yeah.
Late last night. And in so doing, I forgot that Jimmy Kemsky is a defending champion here.
Yes.
And so he's not going to have a chance to defend his crown. But let's just say that we're going to extend an invite to Jimmy to join us at some point this offseason for a different game if he's available.
I would love that. Anytime we can have Jimmy here, it is a good time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we gotta maybe have to keep him away from Vince. He loves him so much. We don't want him fanboying out.
But there's a lot of people who fanboy over Jimmy Kemsky.
Yeah, so that's understandable.
Yep.
All right, Zach. Now, I think one of the fun things about, you know, having Howie Roseman as general manager is that he's already been in charge of 13 drafts. This will be his 14th draft in charge.
So that's one of the fun things.
Well, yeah.
No, I know.
I think it is fun because we have a history to pull from. And I have a couple of Duck Duck Juice trivia questions for you. Okay.
Okay.
Over the course of his the course of his 13 years in charge, what position do you think has accumulated the most Duck Duck Juice points?
So Duck Duck Juice started in 2017.
No. I mean, I'm saying retroactively, starting in the 2010 draft through 2023, but discounting 2015, right?
Yeah.
All of the Howie Roseman drafts. What position has he spent the most draft capital on if we are valuing draft capital the way Duck Duck Juice does? 7 for a first, 6 for a second, 5 for a third, and on and on.
Defensive tackle.
Interestingly, defensive tackle tied for third.
Ooh, that surprises
42
me.
42 points.
Okay, because you had, yeah, you had multiple first rounders there, but that's, you know, you don't get credit for the Mike Patterson, Broderick Bunkley points. So
yes.
Then you
early
miss
on, you know, exactly. A seventh on Jeff Owens, nothing yes. in 2011.
Oh,
then
okay.
Fletcher Cox.
So then I would say that he's had three first round edge rushers because I was actually texting with Elliot about this yesterday.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout with out. Emojis.
I did not use emojis, no.
Okay.
I'm still not a big emoji guy. I think I can use words to describe. You know how pictures worth 1,000 words? I'd rather 1,000 words. So.
By the way, speaking of emojis, there's a pineapple emoji, and that reminds me that we are doing a PHLY Eagles bracket challenge.
Okay.
I can tweet out the link, but this is for the sickos. The password for that challenge is pineapple with a capital P.
You can always count on Esoterica here.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So
is Edge your guess?
Yeah. Well, so I'm going through this here. Let's see. He's done tackle twice in the first round. He's done Edge three times. Nolan Smith, Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham. So yeah, I'm gonna go Edge.
Edge is correct. You okay. also forgot about Derek Barnett.
I said Barnett. Okay. I said Nolan Smith, Derek Barnett, Brandon gotcha. Graham.
Okay. Yeah. And Vinnie Curry in the second round. And Marcus Smith in the first round.
Ah, okay, yes.
So Edge is high and away number one at 58. Yep. Do you want to care to guess number two?
Number two here. Let's go with wide receiver.
Wide receiver is correct.
Okay.
At number two. And then tied for third with defensive tackle is?
Offensive tackle.
Interestingly not. Cornerback. Cornerback is there at 42.
A lot of second round.
Tackle is actually pretty far down the list, which may come into play as we move into this game. Now, here's what we're going to do for the mechanics of the draft today, Zach.
And wait, I just want to correct it here because this is going to come up with the draft. As we saw last year, it actually hurt Bo, unfortunately. So I see when someone says wide receiver, a first for A.J. Brown, that doesn't count. If you trade for a veteran, that does not count in this draft.
Part of the fun of doing it like a month before the draft, a few things could change between now and then, but we are trying to project forward what's going to happen only with the draft picks.
Yep.
All right, so there are 12 picks to be made. We're going to go back and forth, except at the end of round two, whoever goes second is going to have back-to-back picks. So it's going to go 1-1-1-2, and then 1-1-1 from there on out. Because you finished ahead of me last year in Duck Duck Juiced, I'm going to let you pick whether you want the first pick or the second pick.
I just want to say, Professor Selman, when you listen to this back or watch this back, if you can just let me know how the game theory or how the odds were tilted based on that. Because Bo asked me in our, I wouldn't even call it our green room, in our office, would you, and in what round should the person drafting second go back to back? And I was like, I don't know, whatever. yeah, whatever you think.
I listened back to the 2019 version because it's been a while since we've done this as a two-man game.
Okay. Pre-me.
Pre-you. Mm-hmm. The good old days, some people might say.
you. yes.
And back then, we actually did the flip at the end of the draft. The very last two rounds is where the flip went. But I think I think this year there's a little bit more waiting towards the beginning, and it's also not like you actually won this game last year, so I don't think you deserve the full benefit of stacking the deck in your favor.
Also, before we get into it, Team Chocolate Milk wants to know what platform is the Sicko Bracket on.
Yeah, it's on ESPN.
Okay.
And if you want, I'm going to put the link in the chat as we, maybe when Zach is reading his ad, I will put the link in the chat for everybody.
So I'm going to go with the first overall pick here.
You're going to take the first overall.
Yes, I'm going to take first overall.
Well, and then with that's the case, take it away, Mr. Handsome.
So with the first overall pick here.
Donald Parham, here we go.
I'm going to go cornerback. And that's not necessarily where I think the Eagles are going to go in the first round. They could, but I think the Eagles go corner in the first two rounds. And there's some good corners. They are going to go corner in this draft. I feel confident in that. And there's a position, and we'll get into it, where I think they're more likely to go in the first round. But if they don't take that position in round one, then I think they might wait a little bit longer on that. Corner, if they don't go corner round one, And we should also give names here as we're talking. In Daniel Jeremiah, I respect DJ's work. In his mock draft yesterday, he had the Eagles going Nate Wiggins, which Nate Wiggins is like your classic height, weight, speed corner out of Clemson. He fits the prototype that you're looking for. Now, there's other mock drafts that I've seen that has like Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Terrion Arnold from Alabama is mainly, he's viewed as the top corner in this draft. Coy McKinstry. We had a great Terrion Arnold, Coy McKinstry conversation with Fran at the Combine, comparing those two Bama corners. And then, I mean, we'll nerd out. We'll have a whole cornerback show, I imagine, leading up to the draft.
I got to tell you, Zach, on Sunday, I went up to Princeton.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about this.
With Shiel and sat with Coach Flynn to watch some wide receivers and corners. I invited you, but it was a little bit last minute, yep. I understand. Couldn't make the move.
The non-invite invite?
No, I wouldn't call it that.
I'm joking.
You know, it's like, is it my place to invite somebody else to someone else's place? Like, I don't know. I feel like there was a bit of a miscommunication on our end. I liked Wiggins more than I expected to.
Okay.
Because he's a little bit light.
You like a little more heft.
Well, I just like to fit within general historical parameters, and he's a little bit light of that.
You're a Chip Kelly guy.
Well, I know you're an Emmanuel Forbes guy, and how's that working out for you?
It's like I keep hearing all these Aaron Donald things about his arm length coming out. Well, Aaron Donald could play football, so.
And Emmanuel Forbes can. So I liked Wiggins. I mean, Terrion Arnold, shocker, was my favorite of the guys. But I thought that was interesting, and I'll get to maybe some wide receiver thoughts down the line. But some guys who make sense, I think, at corner. I think this is also a pick that makes sense from the standpoint of if you're comparing it to another position that might be more likely in the first round, corner, you could see him double dipping.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They have
especially if they draft a nickel guy. Like,
exactly.
You got. I think you have upside for like a second round pick and a fourth round pick type deal.
Yeah, so that's why corner was high on my board because I think there's, even if you're not getting maybe the upside at the first round pick, there's a chance they don't go first round. I don't think by the end of day two of the draft it'll go without them addressing corner. The one variable here, and I probably should have thought about this when I was putting my rankings together, is I've been on record saying that if the Eagles make a splash in a trade, it'll be for a corner. You had the A.J. Terrell trade idea yesterday, which I thought was a terrific idea. If you're going to move Reddick, if you can get Terrell, that's great. I mentioned Patrick Surtain, if he's available, as someone the Eagles should go hard after.
Can Parham play out there?
And that 6'8 corner, that'd be like Lenny Walls.
Oh, all of a sudden size does matter.
Lenny Walls. Do you guys remember Lenny Walls?
Sure.
Lenny Walls was a 6'4 corner from Boston College, played for the Broncos. Mm. Brandon Browner, 6'4 corner. From Oregon State, played for the Seahawks and the Patriots and the Saints. So,
good for your immaculate grit.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is interesting, Zach. The Eagles have not drafted a corner in the first 2 days of the draft since the Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas back-to-back in 2017.
Yeah. And you know what? The Rasul Douglas pick, I think, actually went better than it's kind of like remembered to be. He was a third-round pick that gave them productive snaps for 3 years. They probably got rid of him a little too soon.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between lamenting the pick and lamenting the release. Like,
sure.
They got fine value out of the pick. They probably should not have let him go.
They got rid of him too soon.
You can try to unpack how much situations matter. Would he have found that success in Philadelphia? Maybe not, but certainly seeing the way that he has played after leaving Philadelphia and after being cut by another team would tell you that he had that in his body at least.
My guy says, when did they draft Avante? In the fourth round was Avante Maddox.
Yes. Fourth round of Avante in 2018, fourth round Zach McPherson in 2021, and then a fourth rounder for Keely Ringo last year. Okay, corner I think makes sense. It was number two on my big board, so I'm going to get my top pick here. And this is interesting. Obviously, offensive tackle is a position that the Eagles care a lot about. And yet, because they have been blessed or had the foresight to have those positions locked down the way they have over the past decade plus with Jason Peters and Lane Johnson and now Jordan Mailata, they have not had to spend a ton of draft capital on the position. That ranking I was talking about of all the positions over the course of Howie Roseman's tenure, tackle is ninth with just 29 overall points spent on the position. Now, some of that is a little bit finagled because we're saying Tyler Steen's an interior offensive lineman. So it's a little bit of wiggle room there. But they have not had to spend a ton of draft capital on the position. Now, obviously, they drafted Andre Dillard in the first round, and that didn't work out well because they already had Jordan Mailata. But I think just knowing how Howie Roseman feels about the importance of the position and having a plan for replacing guys long-term, Lane Johnson also cannot necessarily be relied upon to play 17 games in a season. Yep. The more I look at these numbers, the more I know that this is a tackle-heavy draft. I mean, I would be flabbergasted if they don't take a tackle in the first two rounds, but I think it is easily the betting favorite to be their first-round pick on offensive tackle.
It's interesting you say that. I'm going to push back a bit on what you just said. I am expecting them to take a tackle in the first round. That's if I got a DM, and my DMs are now open. I think when I got verified, it went to verified only.
Yeah, this goes to your just general trust in technology and like they know best and the absurdity of you looking at the For You tab in the middle of the opening of free agency.
Yeah, so I think something with the verified made it like verified only, and I did not know when that happened. But now it's open. Anyway, someone messaged me last night asking where I would put my turkeys between offensive tackle and corner in the first round. And I said offensive tackle, like 65, 35, or 60, 40. I expect offensive tackle. But I wouldn't be flabbergasted if they go two rounds without an offensive tackle, because if they don't take one in the first round, I don't know if they circle back and like definitely take one in round two. I think there's a bit of a drop-off at that position.
That's fair. I mean, I say that because they've got two second-round picks, because there's three picks in the first two rounds, and I would be very surprised if they don't use one of those three on the position that I think they're going to prioritize.
I just think
there is enough depth that in the second round there are going to be guys that maybe they end up having to move up a little bit for.
Okay, yeah. If they move up. I mean, this is a really good tackle draft, like the best tackle draft in a long time. And there have been tackle drafts, like we talked about Mekhi Becton. That was not particularly – well, actually, Werfs was in that draft. Last year it was not a good tackle draft, right? But this is a really good tackle draft. I just think you could see, like, five off the board in the first round, and then maybe six with Kingsley. And when you get to that, then you might be saying, all right, well, the value doesn't match the position here at 50 or 53.
Yeah, I think that's. I don't think that's a crazy take. Before we get to your second round pick, Zach, the third overall pick, let me tell you, because Howie Roseman's position valuations have not changed over the years. And you know what else hasn't changed over the years? The colors of this. You could sort of make a case that the colors of this are similar to the colors of the great taste of Miller Lite, because the great taste of Miller Lite has not changed over the years. It's the original light beer, and to this day, it is still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And if you want to do your own version of Duck Duck Juice around, you know, the bar table or the fireplace, and you want to suck them back with the boys, you know that Miller Lite is what you need to have in a nice cold bucket of ice. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. It's less filling and only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/PHLYBirds. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Yesterday was the first day of spring. And I'm excited to bring that up because the spring purchase market... I want to tell you about Mortgage CS, because the spring purchase market is almost here and it's heating up quickly. And many clients, especially first-time home buyers, are reaching out as they want to be ready when the rates drop. That's what they say. But that's what everyone else is doing. Given limited inventory and strong demand, competition is extremely fierce this year. Get in touch with Mortgage CS to prepare and ensure you will be able to stand out and make the strongest offers possible. Mortgage CS stands for Mortgage Concierge Service. The C and the S is for Concierge Service. It's white glove service. Mortgage CS is an independent mortgage broker based right here in Philly that gives you full control of the lenders that they work with. It's available. They're available 24/7. Mortgage CS is a licensed coast to coast in California, Colorado, DC, Delaware, Florida, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Virginia, and Washington. So don't forget to spread the word to families and friends in these areas, or maybe there's a football player signs in a different market. Jack Driscoll is going down to Florida now. He could sign up with Mortgage CS. We are here to educate and empower the clients. Mortgage CS helps the clients obtain ultra competitive rates, and they have exceptional customer service, 24/7 availability from the two owners, Alec and Ben. They'll help you in a competitive market by calling the listing agents, reviewing offers, and highlighting your positive credentials with their stellar reputation. There's tons of easy-to-use tools to make the mortgage process more approachable. When you hear the word mortgage, think of Mortgage CS. Think of Ben and Alec. Save Ben's telephone number, 267-391-7425, to your phone. Email Ben at ben@mortgagecs.com. Call, text Ben anytime, day or night. You can even talk Philly sports. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to get started. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. Visit mortgagecs.com for more information.
All right, you are on the clock, Zach, with the third overall pick in the 2024 Duck Duck Juice
draft. Yeah, I think what's interesting this year is that our rankings might be a little different, which is good because you don't want it to be like, I'm just taking your third.
I think we probably have the next one, okay. Number three on our board here.
I'm going wide receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And this is a loaded wide receiver draft class. Now, that doesn't mean the Eagles are going to take one round one, although they very well might be the best player on their board at round one is a wide receiver. But it could also be the best player on their board at round two is a wide receiver. And the best player on their board, well, they don't have a third-round pick right now, but in round four, if they trade, you know, and if they got a third-round pick, could be a wide receiver. So this is not a pick for the 7 points in the first round. This is a pick, maybe I get the six, maybe I get a four, maybe they take two guys, right?
Because I think multiple picks is absolutely on the board here.
It's a deep wide receiver draft class. There's good players here. I've said I think one of their top three picks is going to be a wide receiver. I think their third wide receiver next year. So the wide receiver who plays the third most snaps on the team next year is a rookie.
I think I agree with that.
Yeah. So I now
I'm coming around to the second round pick is what makes me hesitant, only because I think there are personality dynamics to be aware of. But I mean, I would take a wide receiver that early. I think that's what the offense needs, is a guy who you can trust there. I'm just not 100% sure they're going to do that. And I also sort of think if they're going to do that, the Devontae Smith contract extension needs to come before that.
Okay. I would imagine they make that a priority. But on that note, and this is tied into whether they take a wide receiver in round two. What's the not gun to your head? Or what's
water
the,
gun?
Yeah, water gun to your where?
Sphincter.
Okay, water gun to your back. How about that?
Sure.
Okay, water gun to your back. In year four of the rookie contract, are both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the Eagles.
Of this rookie?
Yeah, if they took a wide receiver in second round. Yeah, so you're very well might be getting a starter, like a top two guy in year three and year four of his rookie contract.
Yeah.
But certainly, I think a top three guy early on. And I did want to add this. This ties into your pick for offensive tackle.
That's just a bidet. That's very funny.
I did not bring up this during the offensive tackle talk, but whenever I hear people pushing back on offensive tackle, they're like, why would you draft a guy in the first round who's not going to start for you? You're taking a leap if you're expecting Lane Johnson to play 16 games or 17 games next year. Not just that, and that's even disregarding his injury history. At the age that he is playing at next year, it's rare to expect an offensive tackle to last the entire year, right? The beating that that position takes. So that guy
could... I also think like the perfect prospect for them is somebody who might have guard flexibility and can start at right guard right away.
Yeah, but even still, that guy might play five games at right tackle as a rookie. So I bring that up with it's tied into wide receiver. The Eagles have been extraordinarily lucky during the past 2 years to get remarkable health from both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You saw in the postseason, the first game that A.J. Brown missed was the playoffs last year. And you saw what the offense looked like without A.J. Yep. Brown, right? Devontae, the first game that he missed was week 18 last year. You saw what the offense looked without him. I think having a wide receiver who is a, it doesn't need to be A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith level, but is a starting caliber player, that's really important to have, because you can't keep clinging to this idea that you're going to get 17 games from Devontae and A.J.
Yeah, I think wide receiver has both like maybe the highest floor and the highest ceiling of any position here, because they're going to draft a wide receiver, no doubt about it. Howie Roseman has never gone two drafts without drafting a wide receiver until 2022 and 2023. He's not going to go three drafts without it. Plus, they also need it. Plus, the draft class makes it so that there are going to be guys who make it worthwhile. Whereas, like, if they trade for Legarius Sneed, maybe they don't draft a corner. I think that's unlikely, but you could say the same thing about tackle. If they don't find a guy in the first two rounds, maybe they try to find an interior guy instead. Wide receiver is absolutely going to be someone who's added to this team.
Yeah.
All right. This is tough here. Now I have my little snake here. I get to go back to back picks. I think my first pick is easy, and I'm on the fence about my second pick. So let me tell you about my first one. That's interior offensive line. I think I am very confident that at some point on day three they're going to draft at least one, maybe two guys. They've signed Matt Hennessy, but other than that, they have nobody on the roster for like the long term. Now Tyler Steen potentially is your starting right guard, but backup wise, depth wise, this is a position that they want to be able to fill. They want to give Jeff Stoutland some guys to develop, and they have to turn over this roster. I think interior offensive line is a sort of a base hit for me.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. They definitely need depth there. I think even with Hennessy, you could be thinking about getting a guy who can be a backup center for you down the line. They always, if things are equal on the board between a linebacker and offensive lineman, they're going to take an offensive lineman, right? They've shown that time and time again that they want to have developmental offensive linemen. And by the way, like, Howie's done a good job, you know, late in drafts, and whether it was Jason Kelsey, whether it was Jordan Mailata, they've done a decent job finding finding offensive linemen on day three. So you can get points there.
This is tough. You could make a case for, I think, three different positions here.
Yeah.
Do I want the one that I am sure they're going to draft at some point, or one that has a little bit more upside? Huh. All right, I think I'm gonna go linebacker.
Interesting. Okay, that was my fourth, by the way. So
okay, I think there's a chance they don't take a linebacker at all.
Really?
I think there's a chance.
They need young linebackers.
They do.
Yeah.
But you know, Devin White is young-ish. Yeah. If they love Nakobe as much as they tell us they love Nakobe, Ben Van Sumeren is on the come. It's possible that maybe they go just heavy and undrafted free agency.
You made Andrew laugh.
I'm glad. Now Andrew's laughing at me like I don't know what on the come is referring to, but that's in reference to Julio Jones being on the come, and so it's all circling together.
Okay.
I think I would be surprised if they don't draft a linebacker at some point on day three. They need bodies there. They need to raise the floor a little bit. You cannot count on linebackers making an impact on defense early. It takes some time to develop. Yeah. But just in terms of getting guys in the pipeline, I think, they haven't drafted a linebacker. They've drafted Nakobe and then Jacoby Stevens over the past 3 years. Just those two guys. I think they need somebody else in there. Nakobe and Jacoby. Yeah. Never put that together.
Yeah. I like that pick because I do think they've made a mistake in recent years of not building that pipeline of like day three guys. Like if you're, we know that they don't make major investments at the top of the draft, but I think that you want to take swings. Now you can do that in the undrafted market. They hit on TJ Edwards, obviously. They're hoping they hit on Ben Van Sumeren, but you can also do that on day three of the draft where they frankly haven't had a lot of success adding linebackers. I saw in my For You tab, there's reports like linking them to Edgerrin Cooper. And I keep saying, I see fans saying, it wouldn't surprise me if they take this guy in the first round. It would shock me if they took Edgerrin Cooper in the first round. Hmm. I don't think they take an off-ball linebacker in the first round. I think.
What else did you see in your For You tab? A lot of racist, misogynistic stuff and people saying nudes in bio?
I don't see racist and misogynistic stuff in my For You tab, actually, at all. I see, like, a lot of, I saw a video of a, I'm trying to think what it, there's, like, a hand in, you know, it's like a statue where it's in China, I think it is, where you can climb up to the top of the hand, and
what are you talking about?
I'll pull up the video.
It's a statue of a hand?
No, it's a statue. Someone probably knows what this is. And the hand is out, and you walk up on the hand, and there's like there's nothing below you. I also saw a video.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to pull this up.
So it's a really big statue,
yes.
And you walk
out
on the hand.
It's like a daredevil type thing.
Okay.
I saw this video of this guy who's like walking on skyscrapers with no harness. I mean, I don't know how this guy assigned to me in the For You. I see a lot of like, this isn't a surprise. I see like a lot of like self-help type stuff. Like, you know, if you just do these 14 life hacks, you're going to, you know, you're going to be good. I
this
see
is
a
like
lot of
how
that.
You were really deep in real estate Twitter.
Yeah, I saw. I see some real estate stuff in there. Yeah. So in my, let's see, if I click my For You, what's the first thing? This is, I'm playing with fire here. Oh, Kalen Kaler here, Rob Motti here, Nicole Arbeck, Jamie Lynch. I don't know. I don't know what this.
Oh,
is.
What is that?
Anyone? Now that's basically over. I can tell you I dated a pro athlete for a hot minute. At least it's a good story. And Nicole, so I don't know what this is. Jonathan,
wow.
It's a lot of football stuff
All
here.
Right, a lot of wags, apparently.
Puck.
what was that sound?
No, Puck, the media website. So anyways, that's in my For You tab right now. Let's get back to the right. Wait, so here, Cal Bundy has seen the hand statue. I'm going to look this up. I it's a weird thing to search. China hand statue.
Yeah, no, just do that.
Oh, here
just
you go.
China
here you
hand.
Go. A Buddhist hand located in Guangdong, China. Look how freaky this thing is. Now, there's been 56 million people who have viewed this.
Okay.
I am one of them.
Yeah, that's a pass for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, but that's so it's.
But you like watching people do it.
No, so I think I get this historic video in my timeline quite a bit.
You know, just because they call it historic doesn't make it historic.
Yeah, so you see all kinds of things on here anyways.
I bet you do.
So anyways, what was I saying? Oh, yeah.
You're talking about China hand.
Edgerrin Cooper. By the way, I see him, and let's get back to the regular scheduled program. Super chat from real time. Zach is secure in his search.
He's saying for you to be willing to just go for your search there is you means you're secure in it.
Oh yeah, I trust me. I'm very confident in that my history isn't there's not the only.
You know how to use your incognito tabs is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the only thing that is that there's something I don't know, like what I got caught on with Kill Cal that day.
Yes, yeah. Hentai is the tie. Yeah. Is your number one response for the letter H when you type that into Google.
My fault is that I can be too innocent minded sometimes, right? Mm. So I'm like, oh, what is this? Ooh, whoa, I didn't mean to Google that.
I don't know if that's always true, but
yeah,
it's your turn to pick.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's often true. So I will go here with edge rusher.
Okay.
Which I actually moved up my board as we were doing this. And if you're operating under the presumption that Hassan Reddick's going to be moved, and look, maybe he's not. Brandon Graham's entering the last year of his career. The Eagles, they obviously signed Bryce Huff. That Bryce Huff's going to be here for a bit of time. Josh Sweat is entering the last year of his contract. They have confidence in Nolan Smith, but you need to go 3-4 edge rushers deep, right? I don't like this edge rusher draft class. I've said that. I would take the edge rushers in next year's class are more appealing to me in some regards, but I can see the Eagles taking a swing on a guy, especially you made a really good point when they signed Zach Bond. Maybe the body type that they're looking for has evolved and they try to look for someone more with that body type.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the contracts are structured, if Hassan Reddick is traded, I don't think Josh Sweat is back next year, seems like. And so that means that all of a sudden you've got Huff and Nolan Smith and nobody else. And we know it's a position that if there are any ties, like on the board, they're going to take an edge rusher. So I think that's a high upside pick. Like it would not shock me if they took an edge rusher in the second round if there was a guy who made sense.
Yeah.
What are you smiling about?
No, I am seeing people say, I'm seeing people talk about my defense, Your Honor. I thought hentai was a necktie with the female chicken on. I don't know what that means.
Hentai.
I see what you mean. Look, if there's anything I'm guilty of in my Google search history, it's this. Okay, it's that I'm a big Googler, so like so I'll like search, you know, you might see like I'm searching all these different players and stuff.
You know, as a fixed nude at the end.
What? No. Oh no. I just mean like it would be creepy like the amount of like players that I search on Google and stuff like that. That's all. Anyways, back to this. Your views on Edge.
A super chat from Mr. Rudy Poo, who says, Edge Irvin Cooper had 8 sacks. Howie, we need to trick Howie, fellas. Please push this narrative. He's an edge.
See what you mean there. You know who his defensive coordinator was last year?
Bilbo Baggins.
Elijah Robinson, formerly of Temple and Penn State, now the D coordinator at Syracuse.
Well, there you go.
Shout out to Fran Brown.
I'm between two spots here, but I'm going to take the one where I feel like the Eagles are like they've got those 3 fifth-round picks. And I will make a prediction right now that if they keep all 3 fifth-round picks, one of those fifth-round picks is a tight end.
Okay.
And there's Grant Calcaterra on the roster right now. There's Albert O on the roster right now. Dallas Goedert is, as we say time and time again, is the age that, Zach Ertz was when they drafted Goddard and the age that Celek was when they drafted Ertz. I think there's an outside chance of them making this a pick earlier in the draft. But at some point, I would be pretty surprised if they don't draft a tight end. And so I will take I'll take my 3 points here and move on.
All right.
I mean, we've talked about there's like nobody available in free agency.
Yeah.
I'm okay with tight end.
I don't love this tight end class, but I keep saying this. The like under the radar trade up candidate for me is Brock Bowers. Like Brock Bowers might very well go to the Jets. In the first round there, but at what 10? But if he somehow is in the teens, that's like an under the radar trade up move. He is an awesome, awesome player.
It's a bad use of resources, but okay.
Okay.
Do you want to go or do you want me to read an ad?
Let's hit our ads here.
Okay. In that case, let's talk about Rocket Money. Because Rocket Money, you already know about Rocket Money. We've been talking about Rocket Money for a long time. Rocket Money is the personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I use Rocket Money. Zach uses Rocket Money. It saves us money. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to talk to people on the phone. I don't have to deal with jumping through hoops of customer service. They do it for me, and they remind me of things that I may have forgotten about. Or like if a price has jumped. You know, like when you get a, if you get a new car or like a, you lease a new car, you get the really good deal on Sirius Radio, right?
It's yes.
like
super oh, yes. cheap. Yes.
But then after like 6 months,
I get hit with that.
It jumps up yep. and you see it there and oh, I got to get on the phone and see if I can get this deal back. Rocket Money is going to let you know. And they're going to save you the hassle. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/PHLY. That's rocketmoney.com/PHLY. rocketmoney.com/PHLY.
And speaking of PHLY, we have a lot of great stuff going on here at PHLY, including our PHLY events. And we have spring training coming up, or I'm sorry, opening day coming up, one of the best days of the year. And you can join our very own Jamie Lynch, Renee Washington, and John Foley for a pregame live show and watch party at Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Our friends at Miller Lite will have 16-ounce can specials from 11:30 a.m. to close. PHLY is going to be raffling off PHLY swag, game day swag, and more. Also, for the Sixers, courtesy of our friends at Coors Light, we are hosting our first of many Sixers watch parties. Join us at Deke's Barbecue on West Berkeley Street when the Sixers take on the Cavs at 7:30. Show up and enter a raffle to win two tickets, section 116, row 13, to the April 9th game against Detroit. Deke's will be offering $3 20-ounce drafts all Go night Deeks. Long. Check out all of our upcoming events at allphly.com under the events calendar to RSVP. Also, make sure you are a diehard member. We talk about diehard. You get 20% off events. You get a free shirt when you sign up. And every year when you renew, you get premium written content, including Vince, our GM here, says to me, Vince asks me, when's the next mock draft coming? We need a post-free agency mock draft. And I said, Vince, I'll have one for you on Friday. So you're going to have a Friday mock draft this week for the diehards.
There you go. Look forward to that. All right, Zach, you are on the hook for, on the clock rather, for the 8th overall pick in the 2024 Duck Duck Juice draft. Just to recap, you have gone, it went corner, offensive tackle, wide receiver, interior offensive line, edge, linebacker, and tight end.
I also just want to make mention, too, as we're doing this, sometimes a helpful tool is looking at their top 30 visit tracker,
yes.
which Devin Jackson over at the Philadelphia Inquirer, he's been keeping track of this. And a good point for Bo here is that offensive line heavy so far in some of these reported visits, which shows you if they're looking at the old, now we know they're interested in offensive line, but these are tackles and guards that they're bringing in.
Yes, yeah, very important just for the mechanics of this game and the adjudication of it that I have both tackle and interior offensive line, so we don't have to worry about
yes.
deciding what position a guy plays.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know what I'm going to do here?
What you going to do?
This one is...
ZB, what you going to do?
This is not
on the
board.
What you going to do when the pick's on you?
This is not on the board for the pre-draft visits, but I can see them taking this, and that's running back. I'm going running back here because now they did sign Davis Price to a futures deal.
Ty Davis Price,
TDP. They give him money, former third-round pick.
Not to be confused with EDP.
I would not make that confusion. I would not confuse that at all.
The T and E rhyme. It's pretty much same ballpark.
Ty Davis Price, they could view, you know, he's like 23 years old. They could view that as like their young up-and-coming back.
That would be silly.
To develop. But I think that you look at Gainwell entering the last year of his deal. Saquon is in a situation, you know, Saquon's their obvious lead back here, but this is a position where they need to continue just to add young players. And it's a spot where you can find a contributor on day three of the draft. And I think that's something that they do here.
Yeah, running back was not the next one on my board.
Okay.
But I see the point. And the Gainwell point is a good one. This is the last year of his rookie deal. They need somebody. You can't count on Saquon Barkley playing every down, and they don't have anybody else in the fold. I mean, I don't think that they can count on Tyrion Davis Price. I think running back's a fine day three dart throw.
Bo has a guy for you, Ray Davis. No sell. I was listening back to the Fran thing. You were getting a kick out of Ray Davis's name.
Well, I don't even remember that.
You don't?
No, but he's okay. Like the old guy.
You see? He made a big deal about his name.
Oh, yeah. He sounds like a 1940s.
Yeah, yeah. I like Braylon. Yeah. I like Braylon Allen. If he falls to day four, or I'm sorry, the day three.
Wait, how recently were you listening back to that episode with Fran?
Not that. I mean, I listened back when we got back from the combine.
Okay.
So that was, what, 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Okay.
Took a nice walk listening to that one.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm on the board for the 9th overall pick. Really, 2 positions left here, and I'm going to go with defensive tackle.
Okay.
Certainly not a need in terms of young guys. They've used first-round picks on the position each of the past 2 years. They've also got Milton Williams, but if you decide you don't want to extend Milton Williams, or you think that there's a day three guy who's got some nose tackle upside, this is it's like Moro Ojimbo last year, right?
Yep.
Like, they didn't need a defensive tackle, but if there is a tie, the tie is going to go to the lineman, and I'm going to go with defensive tackle. I think they do need another body there, and so if they don't really, if PJ Mustafa is not going to cut it as the 4th or 5th defensive tackle, there's an opening in the rotation for a big boy.
Okay, yeah, I like that there. That was the next one on my board, but I switched to running back. But I like that, and they've already, according to Devin Jackson, they've already brought in Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa, who is like a 320-pound defensive lineman. So that shows you that they're doing work. They do work on all the positions, but they're doing work on the D tackles. So I am going to go then with safety, right? That's the last one left, non-quarterback special teams. And when you look at safety here, the Eagles have C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Sidney Brown, Reed Blankenship, right? Behind that, though, unless they add Justin Simmons, as we talked about yesterday, they don't really have anyone who you say is like definitely going to be on the team. Mekhi Garner, Tristan McComb, you don't know if that's the case. Also, they need to boost up their nickel corners. And we keep thinking they can go with someone with like inside-outside versatility. Maybe they go with someone who's safety slot versatility, similar to a C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Nice here that you have corner and safety. So
yes.
Another position where there might have been some debate.
Sure.
Saved.
Yeah, and so you tend to kind of look D-backs late in the draft sometimes. I can see them doing that.
And just from a special team standpoint, mm-hmm. guys who can impact special teams on day three, safety is one of them. I think it was absolutely the right pick there with 3 picks left. And I think you can make a case that that could be the pick that wins the Duck Duck Juice draft for you, Zach.
I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Okay, don't sell it. That's fine.
No, I appreciate the confidence in that. I think your offensive line, I think cornering the O-line market for you was a strong play here. Because last year you were unfortunately shut out thanks to DeAndre Swift.
It's true.
And now there's 4
people. Hard to believe that could happen.
There were 3 people playing, so you only had 4 positions. So it's a little, it's hard to get shut out this year. But
it was hard to get shut out last year, to be fair.
But I think that you were in good shape with offensive linemen, and they could take multiple at either of those positions, and that could boost you up.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. It's down to quarterback and special teams. I think it would be a surprise if they did either one of these, but considering that they have recently signed their kicker, their punter, and their long snapper, it's hard to believe they would do that at all. And even though a quarterback seems kind of crazy, it's more likely that, you know, something weird happens to Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKee and they decide to use a quarterback pick than it is them doing that on special teams. So I will take quarterback.
Okay. I like, I like that pick between the two. You never know. They could always take a developmental guy at quarterback. I don't think they take a developmental kicker, punter, or long snapper.
Yeah.
It's a shame for all the Harrison Mevis fans out there because he's a fun kicker.
Not Harrison Uvis, not Harrison Weavis, Harrison Mevis.
Harrison Mevis is he's an interesting one. And then
Mevis and Mutthead.
There's some good kickers. There's Will Reichert, I believe, from Alabama. There's Joshua Cardy from Stanford. Those were the ones that jumped to my head. I mean,
you should be making up names right now. That's what you should be
and
doing.
The top punter is from Iowa. Torrey Taylor, Toby Taylor. It's Taylor's the last name, Torrey or Toby?
Tyrod.
It's definitely not Tyrod.
Tim the Tool Man.
I think this one's Australian. So,
Toby.
I think it's, let's see. Does the chat know?
Tubby.
Is it Toby Taylor, Iowa? No, that does not come up.
I feel like the name Tory. Tubby doesn't get enough play.
I was right. Torrey Taylor from Melbourne, Australia.
Why was Tubby Smith the end of the line on Tubby?
Well, it was his nickname.
I think we don't get enough Tubbies anymore.
It was his nickname. His given name was not Tubby.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see any more Tubbies hanging around.
Speaking of Tubby Smith, you want to reveal your NCAA tournament picks?
Oh, I don't have my picks yet.
Oh, you haven't done your picks yet?
No, okay. But we have the the bracket.
Okay. So
I was not allowed to put a link in the comments, the live comments, but I will put the link in the comments if I'm allowed to underneath the video when the video gets posted. Again, the password is pineapple with a capital P. And I don't know. Do I want to tweet it? I don't know. Maybe. I guess so. And we should say what the winner is going to get. I feel like the winner of this bracket challenge gets to come on the show for a segment or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I will interview you.
Zach will Google you.
I will, actually.
Rest probably assured will. Of that. Yes. And who knows if he'll Google you and put nude at the end of it.
That I will definitely not do that. Why would you ever do that?
It's curious.
Never done that. Never would. Mm. So, no, but I will, you know, I'll see if there's anything you've written or if there's any published articles with your name in it.
Maybe something else. We'll throw in some other kind of PHLY swag and
I like that.
Something good. What else is on your mind here before we close out the show?
So let's see, elsewhere in the NFL, there's
pro. Do you want to give away your picks?
Well, I'll say this. Now I am in
Virginia last night. Tough.
Oh, I need to say this, by the way. Okay. You will laugh at this. Now you brought the Virginia thing and I should have mentioned this.
Listen, here's the thing. He gets a lot of slack, but Tony Bennett is a really good coach.
No,
and
I wasn't
a wonderful
say
man
that,
and a leader of men. Okay. This is what you need to know. Think of all the things he's accomplished and how nice he was to me when I was on that beat. Okay. Tony Bennett, do not give him slack.
Foe. First off, I wouldn't judge someone based on them being nice to me on the beat. He's a good coach, but we don't need to get into that right now. What I want to get into is this. Colorado State, I'm a faculty member at Colorado State.
Ah.
Okay? And so when you brought up the Who's thing, my boss at Colorado State says to me, like, why didn't you give CSU a shout out? And I say, yeah, I gotta be objective.
Come on.
I think he had that look over text. He's like, you work here, right? Yeah. So, I'm a faculty member at the sport management program.
Proud Ram.
Oh, I'm a faculty member at the Colorado State, their sport management program. And so, Colorado State's advancing. So shout out to CSU and the fine students who are some of whom, or maybe there's a student or two in my class this year. We will see this summer.
I would imagine that one of the fun things about working at Colorado State is that you just know deep down in your bones that no matter how bad of a job you do, you will never be the worst employee they've ever had.
That's a Steve Adazio joke?
Yes.
Okay. I did not think about that. at all. But no, I look, I had a great experience this past summer.
I mean, the floor has been set. No, you cannot possibly go beyond that.
The students were awesome.
You could fail everybody.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You could.
And I'm looking forward to this summer as well, teaching again. So shout out to CSU.
How do you find the time?
Well, it's not a matter of finding the time. It's not like you just discover time. You make the time, right?
I imagine the first year is the toughest, though, because you got to put together the curriculum. Now it feels like maybe, you tell me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the work has been done.
Yeah, but I admit this. I underrated how time-consuming it was going to be. Grading is really time-consuming.
And especially it matters to the people.
Yeah, and even if you have a rubric in place, but like it's very subjective. So it's like, wait, is this, it's hard to, if
I feel like you should change the name from a rubric to a Zangaro-ric.
Well, I'm saying if you're like a math professor, okay, I mean, there's a right answer or a wrong answer.
If only it was so naive about all the things that could go into grading a math test.
Yeah, if
in college they're just doing multiplication and subtraction.
I'm saying, but for this, I'm like, what's the difference between an 87 or a 91 or a 83 or now there's a difference. You can tell
active
the difference.
Active verbs.
You can tell the difference between a 70 and not in a 90. Like, yeah, that's pretty clear. That's like me playing baseball and you playing baseball.
Agree.
Yeah. But some of these, it's left
not
up
like
to nuance.
16 and 95, but yeah.
It's left up to nuance. So, I think I'll be a better grader and a better professor my second time around. But yeah, I do have the
second time around.
I do have the course in place so that I can operate with more confidence this time.
A little step by step for you.
Someone says breaking. Berman says Professor Summon has it easy. I'm not at all suggesting that. I'm definitely not suggesting that. I'm saying
getting in feuds with all of our beloved guests.
No, although I would have loved if Coach Flynn reached out and said, "Hey, do you want to come watch this tape?" But
well, I mean, you've been burying him for like 3 years.
I definitely don't bury Coach Flynn. Great respect for Coach Flynn and the program that he has.
Glad to see Julia is alive and well. Appreciating the step-by-step shout-out.
Yeah, feel well, Julia.
Were you a TJF guy?
Yeah, I was, actually.
Well, of course. I guess I should have... we knew that.
Boy Meets World?
Danielle Fishel, yeah. That's Boy Meets Television for you.
I mean, Family Matters. I liked Urkel.
You liked Urkel? That was your favorite? You liked Urkel?
No, Urkel actually was not my favorite. But I enjoyed Urkel. I liked when he became... Stefan. Yeah, Stefan was cool.
Gave you something to dream about.
I watched Boy Meets World. Sister was on there. Mm.
Did you watch Step by Step?
Yeah, Step by Step. I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Step by Step, Day by Day.
Yep. Was Family Matters on TGIF? Yeah. Watched Family Matters. Select it all.
All right. Andrew?
Who would thought?
TGIF guy? No?
No.
Too cool.
No, he's a little younger.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
all right.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Boy Meets World guy.
Who's your favorite character in Boy Meets World?
Well, I had a crush on Topanga.
Yeah. You guys got a lot to talk about.
Bo makes it seem like I was the only person. I was the only 10-year-old in Philly who thought this.
No, I just think the degree to which you're still, revved up about it is.
I'm not revved up about it at all.
Talking about.
Not the case at all.
And again, worth noting that you are the one who put those weird things in her husband's Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
What? I don't. That's a reference I will not Google. Yes.
I mean, you can Google that. It's safe to Google.
Okay.
You can Google Topanga husband Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Okay.
Okay. Nude. That will do it for this episode of the PHLY Eagles podcast. We thanks everybody for listening and watching. Another Duck Juice draft down the drain in the rearview mirror. Look forward to following this one over the course of draft weekend. Many more games to come as we begin our draft foray in earnest. Ernest J. Smith. Thank you for listening and watching. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon And as always, we love you. We all silly like